And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, today is Wednesday, September 20th. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I am Gino. I'm here with Kevin. I'm here with Darren. Guys, it's a football show tonight. People, please listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. Like and subscribe. Follow us on Facebook. Talk to us about some football. We got a lot to say with football. Whew, week number two is in the books, guys. NFL just moves fast once it gets going. The Giants may have saved the first part of their schedule. I don't want to say save this season. It's too early to say that. But save the first part of their schedule with some crazy-ass win we'll get to in a couple minutes. In the process, they lose Barkley for a couple of games. But we're going to start this off with the Jets. It's a loss to the Cowboys in a big way. Dallas wins 30-10. Jets move to 1-1 after the first win over Buffalo. Prescott had two touchdowns. Micah Parsons had two sacks. The Cowboys had a lot of yards. Wilson threw three interceptions. He was 12 for 27 for 170 yards. Darren, why don't you take it away tonight?
From the thrills of victory in week one to the agony of defeat of week two. You can't reverse fortune as quickly as the Jets did this week. They came out so flat. Now, here's the thing, right? This defense, the 85 Bear comparisons, this team let Dallas walk down the field on that first drive like they were cutting through tissue paper, like there was nobody playing. The scheme. Listen, we'll get to the offense later. The scheme on defense was horrendous. They're sitting there not playing man-to-man at all, and they're backing off, so they're allowing Dak to throw short passes. Dak started 13 for 13. He's never been that accurate. He's never been bad accuracy, but he's never been great. I couldn't understand. They played zone, and they dropped off. They, for the most part, stopped the run, but they could not get off the field in any way, shape, or form. I don't know what Ulbrich and Saleh are thinking. Now, listen, you knew there was a chance of a letdown. Emotional Monday night win. Then you go on the road. But the first drive of the game signified everything. And with all that, we're a Sauce Gardner drop pick six away from tying the damn game up. But he can't hold on to the ball. And, you know, you see the things on social media afterwards. Oh, he got torched. They actually threw at Sauce one time. One where he was covered in a man-for-man situation. They didn't get tossed. So then that leads you to the whole idea of does Sauce have to travel with the best receiver? Does he have to go on both sides of the field? Does he take C.D. Lamb on and get rid of him? Or is it, or you're comfortable with Reed? But at least play man-to-man. They sat there and played a soft zone the entire game. I didn't understand the scheme at all. It was embarrassing. Yes, they stiffened inside the red zone, but Dallas rolled inside the 20s all freaking game long. Kev?
When you're going against the Dallas has a great defense, no doubt about it. Or at least the Giants and Jets are just putrid offensively. I don't know which way it is right now, but Micah Parsons is making a case as one of the best defensive players in football, if not the best. The problem was that, yeah, you talk, oh, they stiffened, they held them. But you know what? Long drives that lead to field goals against this Jet offense right now is sufficient. And you look at the second half, and they went 12 plays for a field goal after the fumble, four plays. Okay, another 12-play drive for a field goal. I mean, they were marching up and down the field against them with ease. And like you said, a lot of the zone coverage, soft coverage, everything else, like they were afraid to get beat deep. But meanwhile, CeeDee Lamb's running free all over the place. And, like the way they talked in the preseason and the way we thought this defense could play, they showed none of it in week two against Dallas. Darren?
It reminded me of Seattle last year when they were trying to get into the playoffs and the Seahawks just walked down the field on the first two drives. That's what it felt like watching this team play. Now, there was no heart. There was no energy. The fact of the matter is that they blitzed an awful lot. Don't! Don't. You have pass rushers on the D-line. Play seven back, but play man under. Do something. Get them off the routes. You're letting it so easy. Let them complete passes so easy. And listen, I'm not trying to give the offense a pass. Zach was not good. But, you know, he showed signs of life late in the second quarter when they were letting him scramble, when they were letting him run, letting him get around a little bit. Put him on the move. He threw three picks. Two of them were really late when they're forced to throw, trying to get back in the game. I'm not going to say he was good because he wasn't good. But he also didn't have a hell of a lot of time. Is Brown the answer at left tackle? Is it time? Is it time to say, all right, Mekhi, slide to the left. AVT, go to the right tackle. And let's put somebody else in at guard if Brown can't protect. We ran the ball hardly at all. What was it, four carries for Brees?
And four for Dalvin.
That's it. And Dalvin fumbled one of those. But, I mean, whatever. He got stripped pretty good. I mean, Micah Parsons just ripped it from him. It wasn't like he was being loose with the ball.
Okay? I knew we were in trouble the first play. After the Cowboys marched down the field, no problem. What was it? 12 plays, 75 yards for the touchdown. Mm-hmm. Our first play, handoff to Brees.
Yeah, minus
and
four.
He runs left for minus four. It's like, why are you running left? Run right. Run right behind Becton and AVT. At least give me that. Why are you running left? Especially on the first play of the game. Run right, please.
The scheme on both ways was so awful. Here's the beauty of it. You watch this Jet team. They know you're going to run. They know your quarterback ain't crap, right? So here's the thing. You got a guy like Mecole Hardman on the roster, okay? He should be in motion every damn play with a fake goddamn reverse. He should be bringing somebody with him. Somebody should freeze for a second, for a half a second. Why is he on the team if we're not going to use him in a role where he can actually be productive? And if you don't like him in that role, let Xavier Gibson do it. I don't care who it is. Put somebody in damn motion. Let Zach run a little bit. If they can't protect him, do design rollouts where he's throwing on the run or he takes off for 3 yards. I don't really care what you do. But what you're doing right now is pathetic. I mean, the running game's 18-10, okay? And out of nowhere, you're saying to yourself, we're playing as bad as you could play, and we're one score down. We're within one score. I mean, the defense hasn't been able to really – it's stiffened, but it hasn't stopped them all day. It's just let them stay on the field. And I know the Jet fans just want Zach's head, and I get it. Zach, once again, he's not playing well. This is a good defense. Daniel Jones didn't look well. And right now, Giant fans are ready to anoint him as the – they want to put a statue of him in front of the of MetLife. Because he had a good second half. But he didn't do a thing against this defense. So I'm not going to sit there and kill Zach for having a bad week. What I'm going to say is I'm going to kill the coordinators on both sides of the damn ball. I was as embarrassed watching this game as I've been embarrassed since the butt fumble game. Since where we got mauled on a game where we're playing for our lives. You know, when you're playing a big game and you get mauled. This is how embarrassing this was. You played the game of the week before. You went on the punt return on 9-11. You know, no Rodgers. You find a way. He gets hurt early. You have all the momentum with you, and you come out flat. Not the sign of a winning coach. Not the sign of winning staff. Not the sign of a winning team. G?
So, from the non-Jet fan side of this, I got two things. One is, and you started a little bit with this. Why is Sauce not just playing Lamb the whole day? To me, that was the first thing. Just and you started saying it before, but you know, I had three things that I saw, and that was one of them. I don't understand it. If he is one of the top two or three best in the league, he's got to play the number one receiver the whole day. He's got to cover Lamb like a blanket. And it can't just be when he's on his side of the field. It just can't happen. Now, the second thing is, and you started with this also, and that is Zach. I said this last week when we talked about this. If they lose to Dallas and now they're going to play the Patriots, if this is a bad game for Zach, you're going to have to bring somebody else in. Somebody else is going to have to be here for game four. He may not be the starter, but you're going to have someone ready to go in if the first half of game four is a disaster for Zach Wilson. Because so far in a season and a half and two games, basically, part of whatever the last season and then two games, he just doesn't look like he's the quarterback. And listen, you want to tell me the offensive line is got problems, fine. But to me, it's a big problem. Darren?
I mean, he doesn't inspire you that where you think that he's going to make a big play. Here's the thing. The way the Dallas defense has started off the season, I don't know how many quarterbacks are going to inspire you, okay? Buffalo's a good defense, and they showed it against the Raiders after the first drive of the game. He played okay in that game. He didn't play great, but he was okay. Now you go up against the Patriots in inclement weather. So now I'm going to judge him off a game where it could be a freaking monsoon. Maybe the rain passes. Maybe it's just wet and damp, but not rainy. I don't know. But I can't judge him off of Dallas and New England. I can't judge him until game four. That's the problem with this. Because a lot of quarterbacks are going to struggle against New England and Dallas. A lot of regular quarterbacks, you know, the Kirk Cousins of the world.
I know, you're right.
The pretty good ones are going to struggle. But here's the problem. They have to win this game. This isn't a game where you can give an effort. They've lost 14 in a row to this team. Seven quarterbacks. Zach's 0-4. He's played the most. 0-3 for Darnold, okay? I mean, a couple of these guys you wouldn't even remember if I told you that started in these games. Fitzpatrick is the last one to beat him, but he also lost one of them to him, right? Bryce Petty, Luke Falk. I mean, we have sent guys out that would make you cry, okay? I mean, we have not been good at the quarterback position for a while, but it's sad. 14 games. The last time they won, Zach was 15 years old in sophomore year of high school. That's how long it's been. This is a team that has to win this freaking game, G.
So I get you. I get that it's going to be a horrible weather day, but game four, you're not going to play a horrible team.
You're playing the Chiefs.
You're playing the best
defense the Chiefs have had in the Mahomes era. I said it to you the last 2 weeks, and I still stand by it.
They shut down Jacksonville this weekend.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's not easy. And then you go to Denver, which is never an easy place to play, even though Howell looked good. So you can't take that away yet. But New England is always going to be tough because Belichick knows how to prepare for quarterbacks that are inept. And right now, Zach seems unconfident and inept. So, I mean, it's very hard for me to imagine Zach completing any more than 50% of his passes in this one. Kev?
Just have to come out. The offensive line has to make a statement here. They need to set up the rushing offense. They need to run the ball. And the offensive line has to dominate this defensive line. And I'm afraid they're not going to be able to. That's my big fear because we haven't shown we can. They're going to have to run the ball because, you know, Belichick will be fine trying to stack eight in the box and challenge guys on the outside one-on-one because he's not afraid of Zach Wilson. Well, you've got to establish the run enough so that you can maybe run some play action. Maybe get Garrett Wilson on some of these slants. You saw what happened when he can get free. He took 168 yards to the house against Dallas. He's got that type of breakaway speed. Get something outside. You know, get like you said earlier, get Mecole Hardman on a sweep. Get him on a wide receiver screen where maybe he can break a couple of tackles.
I don't even care if they give him the ball. I need him in motion to freeze somebody. I need him being play action all day. I need it to happen like 15 times in the game.
Yeah.
And I need to run right. You said it before, but that's the whole thing. This team, you can't run left. Laken Tomlinson's just stealing money right now. He actually took a contract, stole it, and has decided not to show up one game in a year and change. And Dwayne Brown is 106 years old. He lied on his freaking birth certificate because that guy moves slower than I do, and I'm a fat bastard. So when we go through this, this team has to have a better scheme. It can't, I mean, you expect Belichick to outcoach us, right? You just do, right?
Yeah.
These two idiots have to rise to the occasion because last week they didn't. My O coordinator has to rise to the occasion and my D coordinator has to rise to the occasion or I'm not winning. This game could be another 3-3 thriller with a punt return beating us like last year.
I'll take 3-3 in the fourth quarter.
Well, I won't take the punt return, but I'll take 3-3.
But if you give me the 3-3 game in the fourth quarter, I feel like I've got a chance at least. One play.
Between
Breece and between Garrett Wilson, you've got guys who can make that one play that you need to pull out this game.
And throw to the damn tight end. Don't play Uzoma anymore. He's not doing anything. Let Ruckert come in. Let him play with Conklin. Let the two tight ends be in the game at the same time for a little while. And let's get them loose a little bit on a linebacker here and there. And let's give Zach short 5 and 6 yard passes. And then Garrett to break in and stuff like that. But you got to do more, G.
So my three things were Sauce. The second one was Zach Wilson. And my third one is there have got to be more than 8 running attempts between Cook and Breece Hall. The offense has to start with these guys because now Zach is your quarterback. They have to go to these guys more.
They have 5 of them on the first 2 drives.
I know.
You mean they only rushed it combined 3 more times? And one of them was Dalvin's fumble.
Yeah.
So 2 on the rushing attempts?
You came into week 1 thinking you had Aaron to fling the ball around a little bit. We're past that point now, right? So here we are. It's got to be, you have to be able to run the ball with these two guys. You brought Dalvin in here for 1 year. We talked about this at one point in the offseason. Run the crap out of this guy. Run him into the ground if you have to. Give the ball to Breece as much as you really think you can. If it's 12 touches a game, it's 12 touches a game. Whatever they think it is to keep him healthy, fine. But the other times, they got to give the ball to Dalvin Cook. Yep. I mean, you have to get running yards from these two. Otherwise, there's no way you're going to win. So here's my question, Darren, and this is where I was going before, right? So 1-1, you go to New England. If this is a loss,
home game.
I'm sorry. 1-1, you got New England here. If you go to 1-2. And let's assume that it's a horrible weather game. Whatever you want to assume, you can't. I'm going to assume for the moment you're not blaming Zach for the loss. However, he doesn't play well again, right? What do you do? Because you're going to have to get another quarterback here.
I agree with you on that, G. There should be another quarterback already on the roster.
He's not going to start.
That's okay. To me, honestly, the more I think about it, the more I lean toward Carson Wentz. And I know he sucks, but I know he can sit there and sling the ball around a little bit. And hopefully, I know he's not a great leader in the huddle, but I know he can sling the ball around a little bit. He's probably the guy that's available that doesn't cost a lot that you can get.
I mean, it's a week and a half going on 2 weeks without a true backup quarterback. Nick Chubb gets hurt and Kareem Hunt's in and signed the next day practically.
Yeah, I don't know what Joe Douglas is doing on this.
There has to be another quarterback.
He should have been in-house last week, G. He should have been in-house last week.
There should have been somebody in last week.
Okay.
Listen, all right. I don't need an old quarterback that's a statue because I don't have the offensive line that can protect him. I need someone that can move around. I feel like Wentz sucks. I feel like Jameis Winston sucks, but they can both move a little bit. I'd probably lean toward Wentz. He's not going to cost me anything at all. They're saying, oh, they could trade for Cousins. You know what? If I have Rodgers coming back next year, what am I doing with Cousins? I don't need Cousins.
Cousins got to be off the table after today because the Vikings traded for Cam Akers today. So they're bringing in another running back. They have Jefferson there. They're not trading Cousins at this point.
Most likely, I would say no, but it's been a rumored thing.
No, I know, but with this trade today, I think that kind of takes Cousins off the table for the moment anyway, at least for the immediate future. But they got to have somebody in here, right? Because game 4, if Zach sucks for the first half, somebody's got to come in. You're not going to be able to go through a fourth game. And so what happens? He sucks in game 4, and now you're 1-3 going to game 5? I mean, you know, we say this all the time. We can't wait for football to get here. But when football gets here, it starts flying week after week after week. We turn around, you're in week eight. I mean, you know. So, any other final thoughts on the Jets, guys?
They have to coach better. And the first 2 weeks, my complaints have been more on the defense than the offense. And I know the offense hasn't been good. But if this defense is supposed to be special, show me something. Freaking show me something. You can't let the Bills come down in the last drive and tie it. And you can't let Dallas walk down the field to start the game like you have nothing. And that's what the defense is showing me. Nothing last week.
They're very fortunate Josh Allen decided to throw the ball to Whitehead three times.
Yeah,
and Chuck.
And they were very fortunate that there was an offensive pass interference called on a superstar wide receiver like Diggs, which does not happen every day. I'm not saying it wasn't. It was the right call. But how many times have we seen the great receiver get away with that call? Because they would have been inside the 20, near the 15, and they could have scored a touchdown on that drive right there.
Yep.
And that's the only reason. And the defense just let them walk down the damn field. G, back to you.
All right. So we're going to move to the other New York team. The Giants move to 1-1.
I'm going to down to one thing you said before, Gino. If they lost that game and lose at San Francisco at 0-3, their season is pretty well shot.
Oh, yeah.
So said it wasn't the season. I think it was.
It was.
Okay. Well, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it makes or breaks their season because it's so early in the year. But I'm going to get there right now. So
the way to put it is, it avoided breaking their season.
That's a very good way of putting it.
Yep.
So the Giants are down 20-0 at the half. They come back with 14 in the third, 17 in the fourth. Listen, a win is a win. They moved to 1-1. It was a horrible game until the third quarter. I don't know what switches flicked. All of a sudden, everybody was able to play a little bit. Arizona isn't that good. They're giving everybody a fight right now, but they're still not that good. They're 0-2. But one of the big things that happened was they lost Barkley to a right ankle injury. The initial reports are he could be up to 3 weeks. He's definitely out this week. They've already ruled him out for Thursday night because they're in San Francisco. Dable said he's not sure if he can play in game four, but we're going to see. But going exactly to your point, so, and you're right, because had they gone to 0-2, their next four are San Francisco, Seattle, Miami, and Buffalo. They go to 0-6, you might as well be talking about two more seasons at that point. As it is, they're 1-1. They're going to San Francisco. I can't imagine they're going to get a win right now in San Francisco. San Francisco's just rocking on all cylinders right now. They'll wind up coming home to play Seattle on a Monday night in week four, and then we'll see how this goes. Darren, any comments on the Giants?
Well, I mean, listen, regardless of the opponent, when you're down 28-7 in the second half and you come back and win, it's a great win. It's a momentum-changing win for your team. But the simple fact of the matter is they're playing a Cardinal team that's decimated. No quarterback, best defensive player, Buda Baker not playing. A lot of things going on there. But nonetheless, they finally aired it out, threw it downfield, made a lot of things happen. Jalin Hyatt, guy that Kevin has been high on because he's from the SEC, and that's the conference Kevin watches so closely. I'm teasing Kev. But Jalin Hyatt actually had a really big play. Daniel Jones was huge in the second half. Saquon was big in the second half. The Cardinals looked like they were just trying to hang on and not trying to play offense to win the game. The defense still needs to get to the quarterback better. I got to be honest. They really don't. Kayvon Thibodeau has not been what they were hoping for. There's been a little bit of controversy about him in the last week or so. And, Lawrence stopping the run is great, but they need to get more pressure on the QB for this team to be successful. Here's the problem with the Giants, okay? They have to beat a good team. I say it every week. This is not a good team. The last two good teams they played outscored them 78-7. Okay? So now you play San Francisco. If they play San Francisco tough, all the power to them, and I hope they do. Brock Purdy's 7-0 as a starter. They average 32 points a game when the kid plays. Watched him at Iowa State. Thought he was a nice quarterback. Thought he'd be a nice backup in the league. Boy, was I wrong. But the whole thing about it is that they are going to have to play well against good teams, and they're going to have a lot of chances. I mean, they have Philly twice. They got Dallas one more time. They got Buffalo. They got the Jets, regardless of how we feel about them, still considered a good team. You got Miami. You've got New England. So you have some good, solid teams. I don't consider Seattle as that good, solid team. But they're going to have to start being competitive in these games against the good teams. If they can't do that, then this team is a fraud. If they can play close this week, I don't expect them to win. If they won this game, it would be amazing. Great for them. But I don't expect them to win this game, but I need them to be competitive even without Barkley. Kev?
Yeah, this week just seems like it's, you know, San Fran, in theory, should be able to name their score if they play, if they take this game seriously. You know, you're just afraid of, you know, I think if you're a San Fran fan, yeah, easy for me to say, of all people. You're just worried about the team coming out flat against the team that you think you're gonna walk over. If they just come out and put together their normal effort, they'll blow out the Giants, because without Barkley they become one dimensional. And you know, for Thursday night games, I'm afraid it's gonna be another bad game this week.
You hope not, but we'll see. Yep,
we'll see.
Jake.
All right, we're gonna go around the NFL a little bit. Philadelphia moves to 2-0 with a 34-28 victory over Minnesota. Cousins throws 4 TDs, none to Jefferson through 2 games. They are now 0-2. Today they made a trade for Cam Akers from the Rams. They're going to try to bring in another running back to kind of help out Madison, who has not been great so far. On the other side, Swift. We had a couple of injuries to a couple of the Eagle running backs. So Swift got the ball often and a lot, 28 for 175 with a rushing touchdown. Darren?
Yeah, Philly hasn't been that impressive to start the season. The games have been a little bit closer than expected. Last year they started off close too, for all fairness. But they're replacing 2 coordinators and it's showing a little bit.
Yeah, agreed. Miami moves to 2-0 with a 24-17 victory over the Pats. Mostert was 18 for 121 with 2 TDs. Darren?
Brawl after the game, Patriot fan, 53-year-old man, was killed in a fight. I mean, there's got to be a little bit better security going on in these games. We can't have fans getting killed out there. Listen, New England plays everybody tough. They gave Miami a little bit of a battle. They came back late to cut it to 7. I mean, Miami's really good. When Tua's healthy, Miami's good. Kevin?
Correct.
What's interesting is week one, they won with Tua throwing the ball a lot. And Sunday night, they won running the ball a lot with Mostert. So they're showing good balance that they'll take advantage of whatever the defense wants to give them, I think.
And the fact of the matter is that they out-Belichick, so to speak. He tried to sit there and say, beat me with the run, and they said, okay.
Yeah. San Francisco moves to 2-0 with a 30-23 victory over the Rams. McCaffrey was 20 for 116 and a touchdown. Darren.
Someone's got to check the FanDuel account of one Mr. McVay. Who picks a field goal at the gun? I mean, listen, I had the Rams. I was happy. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, I have never seen a pro coach. You want to tell me he's doing it with 10 seconds left for a chance for an onsider? Sure. But you got to be kidding me if you're sitting there worried about getting an extra 3 points because of the 6 tiebreaker down with point differential. You have to be kidding me. There's somebody in that family that's making a bet because that spread was 7.5. They lost by 7. Kev?
The ultimate backdoor cover. And he tried to justify it. I don't know if you heard this press conference.
I didn't.
Oh, well, we knew we were trying to get into field goal range to kick the field goal to give ourselves a chance for the onside. Unfortunately, we had some incompletions. And by the time we finally got into field goal range for a makeable, we were 4 seconds left. And I didn't want him to expose Stafford for one more pass and this and that. So that's why I kicked the field goal. in other words, somebody in my family had the Rams, so we had to make sure we covered.
To be honest with you, the Rams played them pretty tight. Rams played a really good game for the most part. San Francisco pulled away kind of late. Kieran Williams looks good. Stafford's throwing the ball around relatively well without his best target. The Rams actually have impressed me the first 2 weeks, even with this loss.
And
you figure it's a division game. It's a rivalry game. You know, so you know that there's going to be, you know, some semblance of pride by a team.
Okay. We're going to move on. Atlanta moves to 2-0 with a 25-24 victory over Green Bay. Bijan Robinson was 19 for 124. Atlanta had 211 rushing yards, 235 passing yards. They had 446 yards total to Green Bay's 224. They moved to 2-0, Green Bay to 1-1.
Damn. I had Green Bay covering, and they give up a 12-point lead in the fourth quarter. Come on.
I will throw a little fantasy tidbit in here. If you have a linebacker or a defensive back and they go to play Atlanta, you are in for a lot of tackles because they're going to run the hell out of the ball every game. It's 40 attempts every game. Washington moves to 2-0 with a 35-33 victory over Denver. Brian Robinson was 18 for 87 with two touchdowns. And the game ended a little crazy. It was a Hail Mary to tie the game with no time left. Denver then tries for a 2-point conversion. It's a very questionable, uncalled pass interference that gave my Washington team the victory, but they moved to 2-0 in a division where three teams are 2-0. Darren?
How do you miss the 2-point conversion after the miracle freaking catch? How do you miss it? I know it might have been a little bit of a pass interference, but my goodness, there's no way you should miss it. And the thing I'm enjoying most is that Mr. Sean Payton, who's a genius, is 0-2. Screw him with two home losses. Screw you. Anyway.
All right. Moving on to more 2-0 teams. Baltimore defeats Cincinnati 27-24. They move to 2-0. Cincinnati moves to 0-2. Baltimore had 415 total yards to Cincinnati's 282. Burrow, he just doesn't look good right now. The whole Cincinnati team doesn't look good right now, but Burrow just doesn't look good. A lot of rumors are out that he is really still dealing with an injury, but we say it all the time. If you're injured and you're playing, then you're playing and you're not injured. So, Darren?
The Bengals have started off 0-2, 3 of the last 4 years. This is not a unique position for this team. But the difference is that the defense is not as strong in the secondary as it has been in years past. So that's the one thing that you're noticing. Zay Flowers is running all over the place. He looks like, I was surprised he was, I think he was the first wide receiver chosen this year, and I was surprised at that. And I was wrong because this kid looks like he's the real deal.
Yeah, yeah. New Orleans moves to 2-0 with a 2017 victory over Carolina. It's a late TD by Carolina to cut it close. The New Orleans defense is for real. They're going to have running back problems. Kamara's going to come back game four. We're going to see what that does. But their defense is definitely for real. Tampa Bay moves to 2-0 with a 27-17 victory over Chicago. Chicago goes to 0-2. Mike Evans had six catches for 171 yards and a touchdown. And guys, I'm already getting ready to say that my Bears prediction is completely off the wall and crazy. I had them winning, I think, 11 or 12 games. They are just horrible right now. The one problem I have with this team is that, you know, Fields can do a lot of things with his legs, and they're not letting him run, which is a big problem. I had them win in the North, for God's sakes. Darren?
Yeah, he came out and blamed the coaching staff today, so that's going to go well.
Yeah, good job.
That should be pretty exciting. He's like, I'm playing robotic out there. Now they get the Chiefs. I'm not saying they can't beat the Chiefs, but it's going to be hard to do.
You'd hope that you would see better than six sacks, two interceptions, two fumbles. Bears were lucky to recover both, but this is not the sign of a quarterback that's playing with any confidence right now.
He has a strong arm. He can't throw left. He can only throw passes to the right. I'm just saying he can't throw across his body at all.
Okay, Buffalo moves to 1-1 with a 38-10 victory over Las Vegas. Josh Allen threw for 274 and 3. Seattle gets a 37-31 victory over Detroit. They move to 1-1. Kenneth Walker, 17 for 43 and two touchdowns. Montgomery injured in that game. Could be interesting. We'll see what happens with Detroit right now. They're dealing with some other injuries. Amon-Ra St. Brown isn't the healthiest guy. Darren?
Well, in the one of Kevin's favorite football moments was when the referee announced giving him the business. This week we had, I'm talking to America, son. Yeah, I never heard someone say that before in a game. I'm talking to America right now. As Gino was upset on a very questionable, intentional grounding call. But I hadn't heard that one from the ref before.
So that was a new one.
Seahawks played a good game in this one. Detroit battled back, and they were back and forth on it. Goff finally threw a pick. He hadn't thrown one in a long time. So he was getting close to the record a little bit, but, you know, Seattle went in there and won.
It was three turnovers by Detroit, none by the Seahawks.
That's the difference.
Yep. Yeah. Tennessee gets a victory to move to 1-1, 27-24 overtime win over the Chargers. Chargers just, they're 0-2.
Brandon Staley. That's all I got to say. Two words. Four syllables. Brandon
Staley. Them in Minnesota. The Chargers and the Vikings play this week. Both teams 0-2. Are we at the point where it could be a loser leaves town match? It may be.
Pretty darn close.
We will see.
Now, here's the thing. Minnesota loses. They're not dead because that division is not good. Chargers lose. They're going to have a hard time catching the Chiefs, and they're going to have to fight. Even though the Chiefs have already lost the game, the Chargers at 0-3, if the Chiefs happen to win and the Chargers lose and they're two games back this early, it's going to be tough for them.
And 48-year-old Nick Folk with the game-winning field goal. Well, that's what it feels like he is. He's been around forever.
Yeah, he started with Dallas. He played for us, and he was with the Patriots for like 25 years. And now here he is in Tennessee.
Indianapolis beat Houston 31-20. Kansas City with a 17-9 victory over Jacksonville. It was a big defensive battle. A lot of yards in that game, not a lot of points. Darren, talk to me about Kansas City. First
on that Colts-Texans game, it was never that close. I mean, Texans scored a few points late to make it look respectable.
No.
But the danger of the rushing quarterback, Richardson had two rushing touchdowns on the second one. Hit, knocked down, and concussion. You hate to see a guy, kid get a concussion week two.
He's been knocked out of the game two straight weeks now.
Yeah.
First 2 weeks, he's got to learn how to protect himself when he's running. For the Chiefs, I made the statement before, this is the best Chief defense we've seen. It really is pretty good. And they held Jacksonville to 9. And Chris Jones is back, and that makes it a little bit more complete. They don't have a great pass rushing edge, but Karlaftis is one of those guys that just has a motor that doesn't stop. He had 1.5 sacks and really all on hustle. And, they kept Trevor Lawrence off balance, which is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, Lawrence is 0-7 in the red zone, which is unheard of. And they did a good job bottling up ETN. He only had 12 carries for 40 yards.
They did a really nice job in that game. G?
Okay. Okay. And the last game on the agenda was Pittsburgh beating Cleveland 26-22. Pickett to Pickens for a 71-yard touchdown. But other than that, they only had 184 yards. The big thing, Pittsburgh had two defensive touchdowns to lead the way. For Cleveland, Chubb goes down with a nasty injury to his knee. We're going to see if he even comes back from this because it looked brutal. And as a result, this morning, free agent Kareem Hunt was signed to join that team. Deshaun Watson just doesn't look like he's got anything going right now. Cleveland does have a very good defensive team. We're going to see what happens with them. Darren?
Pittsburgh hasn't lost a home Monday night game since 1991. Pittsburgh hasn't lost a home Monday night game since 1991. Gino, you seem to be the only one right on Pittsburgh. Kevin and I think we're both a little higher on the Pickens combo. I mean, we saw one touchdown. That offense doesn't look good. But the fact is that I think Tomlin's like 20-3 on Monday night. I mean, this team plays well in that spot. And if you're betting and Pittsburgh's home on a Monday night,
take Pittsburgh.
I take Pitt.
On the money line.
Cleveland was the better team for most of the night, guys, even with Chubb getting hurt. But they kept self-destructing, too many turnovers. And the fact of the matter is, even though Pittsburgh did not play well, They started the game off with a defensive touchdown. They ended the game with a defensive touchdown, and that's how they won.
When is Deshaun Watson going to start earning his money? Last six games last year, he didn't look all that impressive. In the first two this year, he has not looked like the kid coming out of college.
Or right now, in the first couple of years.
And he's not a guy that's easy to root for at this point either.
Nope, I agree.
Agreed. All right, and that's the NFL for Week 2.
Guys, before we get to college, any game you're looking forward to besides the Jet game and the Washington game this week? Is there anything standing out to you?
A lot of potential blowout
for me. Vikings Chargers, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Chargers only to see who actually is going to come away with a victory.
Titans Browns is a big game. They're both 1-1.
Yep.
Other than that, you know, like you said, the games this week are just not that good.
I think the Monday night game might be the most important for the Bengals. The Bengals, I think, have to find a way to beat the Rams on Monday. And if the Rams ever won this game, that would be a feather in the cap. And I'm not sure where the Bengals are, but that's a game that I'm looking forward to. And it happens to be a primetime game.
And yep. Two Monday night games again this week.
Monday night games, you're right.
I like this.
Yeah, and the other Monday night game is going to be good too. It's the 2-0 Eagles and the 2-0 Bucks. So that should also be a good game.
I would do 7 and 8:30, but I can live with 7 and 8.
Yeah,
I would just do it whether one game goes to the half and the other game starts. But I'm fine with it either way.
Two games on a split screen on a Monday night made me very happy. I got to tell you, it was a lot of fun this week. I'm looking forward to it next week also. All right.
College football. Okay, guys. Was not a strong week of games, but we had some interesting things happen, okay? So just to start, just on ranked teams, Utah, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Iowa, Miami, Oregon, Michigan, UCLA, Washington State, and Oklahoma all rolled against inferior opponents. LSU dominated Mississippi State in Starkville. Jaden Daniels, 30-34. Wow, that's impressive. Two touchdowns. He rushed for 64 yards and another two scores. They dominated on the road in Starkville. Arnett is not the answer at Mississippi State. This team has taken a step back. Penn State easily handled Illinois in Champaign. You know, it's not always easy to win on the road in the Big Ten. They found a way to do it. Alabama has offense problems, guys. They struggled with South Florida, held them off 17-3. Kev?
Well, they have a big quarterback issue. They're going back to Milroe, but they started Buckner figuring, okay, here's our Notre Dame connection with Reese. And Buckner goes 5-for-14 for 34 yards and a half. He was showing the bench.
Yeah, I mean, they have three guys rotating. They have three guys rotating. They don't know where they want to go. They're going back to Milroe this week, but they have an offense problem. And they have Ole Miss coming to town who puts up points in bunches. North Carolina pulled away from Minnesota 31-13. May threw for 414 yards. Very impressive. Duke crushed Northwestern, as one of us predicted. I think that was me. Georgia came back on a gutsy South Carolina squad, Kev, 24-14. Between the hedges in Athens. Big game. Kev, talk about this one.
Well, great first half, obviously. They were up 14-3. Second half, you know, Georgia came out. You know, came out of the locker room ready to take no prisoners. They marched down the field very easily, scored the touchdown. The key point there was on the ensuing kickoff. For some reason, they tried to return. It got to the 15, got called for a penalty, half the distance, another penalty on the offense. And before you know it, it's fourth down. They're kicking from their own end zone. Gives Georgia the short field. Before you know it, it's 17-14 Georgia. And they were able to totally change up the defense. South Carolina has no running game to speak of. You know, Spencer Rattler was the leading rusher of the game. He was under pressure the entire second half. I think he was something like 14-for-16 in the first half and finished the second half like 6-for-20.
Well, the O-line is a question mark at South Carolina right now.
Well, what we saw in North Carolina when they gave up 9 sacks.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's what I'm basing it off of. I didn't week two, I don't really count. But week one and week three, there's been questions.
Yep.
But they played really feisty in this game. They were in it.
Hey, they lost by 10. It's 4 touchdown underdogs.
No, absolutely. Well, the same genius that told you about Duke also said Michigan State would keep it close at home for Mel Tucker against Washington. For I am Darren, Lord of the Idiots. 41-7 Washington rolled. Penix, it was 41-0. Michigan State scored late to make it look like they did something.
You're also 8-1 so far against the spread. So let's not take
that game. Still irks me. Anyway. Ole Miss handled Georgia Tech. Texas and Wyoming. This game was 10-10 going into the fourth quarter. Texas pulled away late. Wyoming gave them all they could handle. It was actually a really entertaining game until Texas had a couple quick touchdowns in the fourth quarter to pull away. Florida, in the game that we talked about, handled Tennessee. And it wasn't really that close. They were the better team. They were just the far superior team in that one, 29-16. Oregon State. I'm sorry, Kev.
I was going to say, three touchdowns in the second quarter, gave them the 26-7 lead in every game after that. And the other ETN brother, 23 for 172 in a touchdown for Florida.
He just gashed him.
And three times Florida's defense stepped up and stopped Tennessee on downs in the second half.
Tennessee's got some questions to answer. Oregon State, the last team, despite a couple of picks by Alugale, however I pronounce his name, they won 26-9 over San Diego State. And the three big ones, and the three I want to touch on, and then you guys can jump in whenever you like. Missouri wins at a 61-yard field goal at the gun against K-State. Okay, just to understand this, this is the 99th time these two teams have played. They haven't played in a while because of the conferences changing. So these rivalries, that border wars, they don't really play each other anymore. But because of this 61-yard field goal, Kansas State goes from ranked 15th to unranked. Bit of a strong punishment in a rivalry game on the road on a 61-yard field goal, in one humble man's opinion. No dog in the fight, just like, what the hell is that? In the red bandana game, and you guys understand the red bandana, where it comes from, right? I'll explain it. I'll explain it anyway. A tribute to a 9/11 victim named Wells Crowther, okay? He apparently was wearing a red bandana, saved between 10 and 20 people, kept going inside the building, and then he perished that day. He was a stock guy, and he was a volunteer fireman, and he kept going back in. So every year, the game after 9/11, they play the red bandana game, which they're 4-6 on. But they gave Florida State fits. They lost 31-29, and let's be honest, 18 penalties on BC is the reason why they lost. They were about to get the ball back, but they had a face mask on the third down, gave them the first down, and Florida State was able to run out the clock. Oh, my God, with a little over a minute left, they were going to have a shot to get the ball back and win this game. Florida State, who looked invincible the first 2 weeks, BC gave them a battle, and BC looked like crap the first 2 weeks, Kev.
And BC also missed an extra point and missed a two-point conversion during the game as well. So that's 3 points there. Or, exactly. Or at least if they had hit both extra points, it's a tight game.
And they go into OT. But instead, they face mask at the end, commit 18 penalties and all this. And the most controversial and most exciting game of the weekend, Gino, a game only known as the Rocky Mountain Showdown, okay? We have the Buffaloes of Colorado and the Rams of Colorado State. And this one started off with words during the week between the coaches. Coach Prime and Jay Norville. Players got heated before the game, had to be separated. Chippy play throughout. Most chippy play was going to be, a hit by, I'm blanking on the kid's name.
Henry Blackburn.
Blackburn. He had a cheap shot on Hunter, lacerated his spleen. He's out for a few weeks.
Yep.
Here's where I get a little confused on college football. If he would have touched his helmet, he would have been out of the game. He didn't even get – he got a 15-yard penalty for this, for knocking a guy out. But on it's a little bit of a strange rule that if you have a cheap shot, you don't get the same penalty as you do if you hit the head. Kev?
And to me, you know, when you look at the replay, it was clearly overthrown. No, the guy clearly missed it. And Blackburn had actually slowed a step or two and then exploded into the guy like he was lining them up waiting for him. I mean, this was blatant dirty cheap shot. You know, with all the – and – For 30 years, you know, I was not a big Deion Sanders fan as a football player. So this is not coming from a guy who is a big prime guy. But I thought Colorado played, you know, for a rivalry game, they played a much more in control game than Colorado State did. And for Norville to be sitting there talking about, oh, Deion needs to show respect, he needs to take off his sunglasses and his hat, and when he's talking to adults and blah, blah, blah. Well, your team played like a bunch of thugs, hoodlums, everything else in this game. It was embarrassing to watch them play with all the cheap shots, late hits, 17 penalties for 182 yards, and I don't think any of those 17 penalties were close.
I think both teams were woofing more than you're giving Colorado credit for, though, Kev. They may not hit the cheap shots,
but they weren't getting the cheap shots.
They were talking as much smack as Colorado State. Colorado State's getting no respect going into this game. Listen, I get your point. You're 100% right. Here's the thing I'll say about the injury first. Hunter comes out and says, hey, we're playing the game. Prime says, this kid shouldn't be getting death threats over a football game.
Oh,
and classy move by Prime and Hunter for doing the right thing. This is a rivalry where basically everybody had counted Colorado State out, and they came in with a chip on their shoulder, and they did not control it very well.
No.
It's like the Ted Lasso episode where they got the red card and they all came out and they were all, you know, and they were doing cheap shots all over the place.
Yes.
I was using the reference for Kevin Gino, who loved Ted Lasso as much as I do. But at the same time, that's what it was like. It was like they could not control themselves. Yeah. But here's the other thing. They were a heavy dog in this game, and they battled them tooth and nail. They gave Colorado fits. It was the most watched game, ESPN late night game ever. 9.3 million people viewed this for a game that started at 10 o'clock. Biggest in the history since they've been keeping the stats. 11.1 million people saw it with the streaming. Most streamed event that they've ever had. That's prime. There's some words that brought people, but that's people wanting to see what Deion's going to do next.
And credit to his kid Sanders, you know, leads a 7-play, 98-yard drive in a minute and a half to score the touchdown plus a 2-point conversion with 30 seconds left to enable them to get to overtime to have a chance to win it.
Oh, no. Listen, great game. I didn't stay up for the whole thing. I'd be lying to say I did, because I can't stay up when it starts at 10 anymore because I'm an old man. But it was a fun game, fun atmosphere. This is what college football risks losing when they go 20 teams in a conference and they control conference play where you would hope these two teams always play, but we don't know what the future holds. This is a rivalry. There's something exciting about in the state of Colorado when these two teams meet, Kev.
And when you look at the whole atmosphere of that game, boy, that'd be a beautiful stadium to go see with the Rocky Mountains in the background.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. It really is. But I think that, you know, college football has to look at the rule. I think that it has to look at the rule where if a player does a blatant cheap shot, you got to treat it like targeting. You got to treat it where the guy gets tossed. He should have been tossed. He shouldn't have been able to continue to play off a 15-yard penalty, in my opinion. I just think that the rule is just too concrete, and it's about, listen, you go after somebody's head, you do a cheap shot like that, you're out for four quarters, pal. You're out for the next two quarters in this game and the first two quarters in the next one. That's my college from last week. Just real quick. Yeah, Kev, go ahead.
I have two other games to mention.
No, go ahead.
One of our first FCS upsets, Sacramento State 30, Stanford 23. The interesting story in that game was Stanford has a new head coach, Trey Taylor, who was the Sacramento State coach last year. So he brings in his old team, figuring it's an FCS school, give them the $600,000 payday, and they lose 30-23.
The bottom of the Pac-12 is weak, but the top is strong.
Yep. And the other interesting one, this was a Friday night game, I think. Army 37, UTSA 29.
It's a big win for Army. It's a tough game.
And Army's changed their offense this year. They were with the lead of the game, they were 8-for-18 passing for 188 yards. In three games, they've got 45 pass attempts, which may not seem like a lot. Last year in 12 games, they had 104. This is a revolutionary Army offense.
Well, it's a quarterback that can throw it. They really don't normally have that.
Yeah.
Not that 8-for-18 is amazing, but he can sling the ball down the field. I mean, very impressive. I agree. I'm going to the game on the 14th in a couple of weeks, so I'm excited. Six big games. Last week we had no schedule, right? This week there's six matchups of ranked teams against each other, okay? Yep. Starting off, Colorado visits Oregon, 19-10. Ducks are favored by 21. I have a hard time seeing that. It's a bit high if you ask me. Number 15, Ole Miss heads to 13, Alabama, Tuscaloosa. Bama favored by 7. Their offense is struggling. Number 22, UCLA heads to Utah, number 11. Bruins haven't played anyone yet. Utah has been tested a little bit. Spread's only 4.5 in that one. Number 14, Oregon State visits number 21, Washington State. These are the last two Pac-12 teams left. OSU is favored on the road by 2.5. Iowa, number 24, goes to Happy Valley to play Penn State, number 7. The Lions look great so far, and they are, 14.5-point favorite in this one. And in the big one, number 6, Ohio State, they head to South Bend. Touchdown Jesus, full effect. Notre Dame has looked great since the first two games of last year. They really have. This is the biggest game Notre Dame has hosted in a while. They haven't been this relevant in a couple of years here. Ohio State favored by 3.5 on the road. Boys, let's make the picks. Who do you like? Start with you, G. Point to you, Gino. Go ahead. You're on top.
I'm taking Ohio State minus the 3. Ohio okay. State is rolling.
Is it 3? I think they're.
It was 3.5 when I wrote this, and I saw 3 tonight. So I think it's down to what Gino said.
It's a 3? Okay.
I like the way they're playing. I think Notre Dame is really good. I think they're rolling also right now. I think Ohio State is a little bit better than them. I'm taking Ohio State minus the 3.
Kevin?
I feel like Notre Dame has a quarterback with Hartman. This is a chance for them to prove that they can win the big game. They're home. I think they're coming out and winning this game outright. So I'm going to take the 3 points.
Listen, Ohio State has more talent, in my opinion. They're a little bit of a stronger team. I think Ryan Day is a fraud as a coach in a big game. I'm taking Notre Dame. I'm taking the points. Notre Dame wins this game. I don't even want your points. Irish win by a touchdown.
All right.
G, you want to give the last two picks? You want to finish up the college? Let's finish up the college. Let's do the picks, and then we'll go to the next thing.
All right, so my second game, I'm going back to the same team I took last week. It's the same spread. That's right. It's Penn State minus 14.5 against Iowa this week. It was 14.5 versus Illinois last week. I hit on that. I'm taking Penn State again. And I am taking Texas minus the 15 against Baylor. I think they're rocking and rolling right now. They're a much better team than just a 2-touchdown favorite over Baylor.
I believe Kevin agrees with you, I believe.
I agree with that one.
Texas rocking and rolling. Those are my 3 picks. Kev?
I'm gonna be like you, picking the team for the second straight week with the same line. North Carolina was favored by 7.5 last week against Minnesota. They're favored by 7.5 at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is just awful. I'm going to take North Carolina minus the 7.5. And my third game, I like Texas over Baylor too, but just to be different, I'm going to go with Utah at home, only laying 4.5. I'm going to take Utah.
Gotcha. Well, I might have hinted at it when we first started, but I don't think Oregon is 21 points better than Colorado, even without Hunter. I think Oregon's a good team, no doubt, but they struggle with Texas Tech defensively a little bit. I think Colorado puts up enough points to keep it close. They might even win it. And K-State coming off this brutal 3-point loss at Missouri, laying 4.5 against UCF. I think K-State's a better team. I think they win the game by a touchdown. I think Will Howard gets it done for the Wildcats. And that's my college picks. G?
Hey, just as a recap, through 3 weeks before this week, Darren was 8-1. Gino and Kevin both 5-4. We are a total of 18-9. So we're rolling with college picks at the moment. I want to say at the moment, we're going to get to NFL in a couple of minutes. Let's just hit a couple of baseball points. Not a lot has changed since last week. Playoff teams are probably still the same. Seattle, Texas, Toronto, all within 2 games for 2 spots. In the National League, Arizona, the Cubs, Miami, Cincinnati are all within 1 game for 2 spots. Philadelphia's got a 2-game lead on that group. San Francisco, 3 games behind the whole grouping. And unbelievably, Darren, San Diego, 5 games behind the whole grouping.
I know
there's only about 11 to play, but still. I have 2 baseball points just to bring up. One is today, Corbin Carroll became the first rookie to go 25-50. Between his numbers and Ronald Acuna's numbers, it is unbelievable between home runs and stolen bases with these two. And Monday night, I don't know if you guys caught this, Kyle Schwarber hit his 45th home run in Atlanta. It was a rocket. It left the park over the right field stands in Atlanta. It went 483 feet, 113 miles per hour off the bat. It was just monstrous. Anybody who's listening to this who has not seen it, go watch it, because the ball just launches. It was unbelievable. Guys, any baseball points?
I got a couple. Just real quick. Houston is not out of the woods here. They and Texas are basically in a dead heat with Seattle a half game back, something like that. So the three teams are battling. Seattle plays Texas this weekend and then Houston to start next week. So this is crucial for Seattle right here. They have to win both series to stay in this. Listen, if you're a fan of the American League West, this is the time. All right. You know, one of those teams is probably going to get beaten up by the others and be the one that falls out. Toronto has made mincemeat of the Yankees the last couple of nights. Yankees have put that one run up each night to make it really exciting. And then, you know, in the National League, it's just, you know, Arizona, Chicago, Miami, Cincinnati, none of them seem to want it. You know, Chicago's in trouble right now. They're losing. Miami lost tonight to the Mets. Cincinnati lost earlier to the Twins. You know, I mean, the Cubs can't lose these games to the Pirates. They just can't afford it. So we're going to see how the National League closes out. But I think it's going to be an 85-win team getting that last spot. I think 85-77 is about right for that last spot in the National League. Maybe even 84-78 the way they're playing. Kev?
Blake Snell, 7 no-hit innings last night, 104 pitches. Has never pitched into the eighth inning in his career. And he tells the manager, nah, I'm done.
Pretty much. He's tough-minded. He's gonna get. And someone's gonna give him 5 for 140 this year. So you watch.
He's probably gonna win the Cy Young this year. He leads the major league in ERA, second in Ks. He's had two great years in the major leagues. Kind of won Cy Youngs both times. The other years have been. Last year was okay. The other years he's been. Yeah, he's gonna get $30 million at least.
He's gonna get between $28 and $30 million. I know that in my mind.
For a guy who's, you know, consistently going to give you 5 or 6, it feels like. Yeah.
And he could strike out 11 and walk 6 in the same game without a problem.
Yep.
Gee, any other points?
Kev, the only thing is if Spencer Strider gets 2 more wins in the next whatever 10 games or whatever that is left in Atlanta season – he'll get 20 wins with his stats. He actually may win the Cy Young. I think it's really going to come down to him or Snell at this point. But I don't know if Snell's a lock at this point, especially if Strider gets to 20 wins. I mean, he's going to have his numbers are just freaking ridiculous.
The strikeout numbers are great. The ERA is awfully high.
Yeah, the strikeout numbers are what makes Strider stand out. And they just do. They pop off a page like no other number you see at any pitcher in baseball right now.
Yeah.
His number just pops. It's almost 100 strikeouts more than innings pitched. It's crazy.
And he plays for a great team.
Yeah.
So he's going to get the wins.
Doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Even though Philly took 2 out of 3 from them just to kind of cement themselves.
All right. It is time to get to our NFL picks for week 3. Week 2 was not a good week for Gino. Darren went 2-1. Kevin 1-2. Gino 0-3. Gino was 1-5, Darren 4-2, Kevin 3-3. We are combined 8-10 because of me. I'm hoping to turn it around this week. Kev, we're going to you first. Who do you like in the NFL for week 3?
All right, my picks. This team's 2-0. Actually playing well, running the ball real well. I'm going to take Atlanta plus the 3.5 at Detroit. My second game, I think this team is just right now playing the best in the AFC. I'm going to take Miami laying the 6.5 at home versus Denver. And my third game is one of the Monday night games. I think this is a desperation game for Cincinnati. I think they come out and cover the 2 points against the Rams. So those are my 3 picks.
Okay.
And I think they took one of
them. I actually like them. I'm going to go away from the Miami pick. I love the Miami pick, by the way. I love that.
All 3 of us had Miami. Kevin gets I got you.
Yeah, I will. I will defer to you, and I'll take a couple of different teams. But I do like them. And honestly, I actually like Atlanta this week also. I like them. We're going to see what happens. But if Atlanta comes out and plays really well this week, they'll be 3-0, and they're going to rock and roll in that division. All right, my first pick. I'm taking Baltimore minus the 8.5 against the Colts. Baltimore's 2-0. The Colts have come out and played really well, but I don't know how great they really are. My second team is Tennessee getting 3.5. in Cleveland. Deshaun Watson needs to do something. I don't know if he's got it anymore. Kareem Hunt's going to join the fold on 3 days of practice. I know he knows the playbook, but we're going to see what happens. I think Tennessee goes in there. Tennessee head coach is?
Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel, he doesn't lose games like this. They're going to be ready to play. It's 3.5. I get 3.5. I love it. And my third game is a Monday night game as well. I like Philadelphia minus the 5.5 against Tampa Bay. Philly's going to start playing really well at some point. I think this is the game where they start playing really well. Those are my three picks. And based on my 0-3 last week, hopefully we're going to turn this around the opposite way now. Darren?
Okay, my number one pick, I'm taking the Jags to bounce back, lay 9.5 against Houston. I think they played well defensively last week against the Chiefs. I think that will continue, and I think the offense will get going against a Houston team that's, you know, not quite up to par at this point. I'm going head-to-head with Kev. I think Detroit not only wins, but they win big. I think Ritter on the road is scary to me. So I'm going to take Detroit to win this game like 31-7. I don't even think it's a game. Wow. My third pick was Miami, and now it's not. So I'm going to go with Vegas laying 2.5 against Pittsburgh. Garoppolo is the go. Oh, that was the one you were going to go with?
That was my fourth pick.
Okay. Well, it's my fourth pick, too. I think Garoppolo is just finds a way to win or he gets blown out. I think they're going to win. Pittsburgh didn't impress me Monday night. Now they have to travel across the country in a short week. I don't think that Vegas is very good, but I think that they are better than Pittsburgh. So I'm going to take Vegas, and those are my three picks for the week.
And just so you know, I actually love Vegas this week, too. I just don't think Pittsburgh is this good. I got to tell you right now.
No, you were the guy that was on it early. I think I was off on it.
Yeah, but for everyone I'm on, I'm off. I mean, I may be on the Pittsburgh disaster, but I'm also on the Chicago disaster in the opposite way. So,
listen, I picked the Chargers to beat the Chiefs. So if you're betting at home, I recommend that you don't take Vegas and you don't take Miami because we all seem to love them. The Miami game spread seems too low to me. For some strange reason, it seems like a trap. But I was going to take it because how can Miami only be 6.5-point favorite at home against Denver? Now, Miami's not as good a home team as other teams are, but you can't imagine Denver could keep up with them unless Sean Payton has some sort of hatred for that. Anyway, that's my final thought. You guys have anything else before we wrap it up, boys?
Is there anything else going on in sports right now? I don't think so.
Ryder Cup next week, baby. Ryder Cup next week.
Right. Ryder Cup's next week.
I'll be having my split screen on Saturday and Sunday and watching as much golf as I can from Rome or just outside of Rome. So, I guess to wrap it up, we are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren, here with Gino, here with Kevin, talking about the wonderful and magical world of sports and the excitement of being a Jet fan every single freaking week in my damn life. We hope you like the podcast. If you get a chance, please download it anywhere you can download a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. We post things on Facebook. Please like them, share them, get involved in them, make comments, make quotes, do whatever the hell you can think of to do. But without any further ado, may your sports be with you.